Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Bowlology Report. I'm Damien Fleming and very excited to review the Brisbane Ashes Test match and preview Adelaide, the first day-night Ashes Test match, part of history. Joining me today, a man who added his name to batsmen dismissed one short of their century for his club team, East Sandy. It's Bradley Hodge. Hodgie, 99, last Saturday, talk us through it.
Well, it was a T20 game on Tuesday night versus Kingston Saints or Kingston Heath, I think. And
they played quite good golf.
Yeah.
The Kingston Heath. They got quite a good home ground for golf.
They have got a good ground. It was a nice venue, actually. It was somewhere in Mentone. And I've ridden my BMX when I was a youngster all through the streets of Mentone. And do you know, this is the first time I've ever come across this cricket ground.
Okay.
And it was a nice little boutique ground. And we were setting the we won the toss and batted. And the skipper pulled a masterstroke and put Nick Knight to the top, who complaining that he wasn't getting an opportunity at 10.
Is he similar to English Nick Knight? Similar player to that? He was a very good one-day player, Nick Knight.
Yes, he was. And I reckon that Nick Knight, the English one, has a little bit more of a better IQ than this thing. Even though he went to Brighton Grammar, I think it was a waste of his father's
funds.
About
30 grand a year.
Yep.
You want something for the effort there.
Anyway, lovely guy. He finished with 60 off 40. Big dog, Mardo. Got us off to a flyer with 40 off 20.
He's been self-promoting a bit, Mardo.
Has he been
belting him everywhere.
Yep.
He's got management. Is there many managers in the Seeker, is it?
No. Well, actually, while we're on the topic of Seeker, and this is an interesting point of why we want to promote more one-day cricket and T20.
Yep.
We had a two-day game. I actually tried to get Guy Martin a game for Melbourne Cricket Club. First 11, they played two T20s on the weekend versus Frankston and Carlton.
Yeah.
They wouldn't give him clearance to have a sub-fielder. He'd already batted the previous week. He got 190.
Think of the bigger issue.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So I was pretty disappointed in the Seeker or anyone that can't have a vision to think that if Mardo goes and plays. And this could happen to anyone.
So we're almost doing a guide to non-promotion of your cricket association right now.
Exactly. So he could have played. He would have played against John Hastings, blah blah blah, against Frankston at the Albert. Who knows what could have happened?
Yeah. It could be in the Australian T20 team by January. Mardo, he's belting him.
If he was in New South Wales, he would be. They love to promote anyone from third grade or below. He's in.
I know we're going on tangents here.
Yes,
one thing I do love, the opposite, sub-district cricket, and I know in the DDCA, my old association, they get a celebrity in. So the Big Duke, the Bowlology Report's own, Big Duke played for Q on Tuesday night, batted 50. I like this.
I love this.
You know, if I wasn't so busy, I was going to take my youngster to go and watch him.
Yeah. Well, I did that.
Well done, subbies.
Yeah, well done. Well, I think most clubs allow sort of one sort of sub-professional or professional come in and play. We certainly have. The other team didn't have on the weekend, but we play them again this Tuesday and they will have. I've played for Berwick with Nathan Pillen. It's a great thing. It gets people in. If the sun's shining, you get a couple of dollars across the bar. You know, for that club to have the Big Duke in there far and away is magnificent.
I think they're looking to recruit him. There you go. You've paved the way.
Cost him a bit.
You've paved him the way, playing in the Seeker and still playing for the Strikers.
I'll tell you what.
Bobby Quine is eyeing off Washington
Bobby's
Park.
All over Washington Park. We know that. Look, the clubs are trying. There's no way the Duke is driving, though, from Frankston South up there. No chance. He's going to play for
private jet.
If Coringle can muster some money up for him,
you're
I reckon
Coringle.
He'll be there.
Hey, Hodge, what about your 99, though?
Yeah, back to the 99. So,
was it your first one?
No, it's not my first one. It's first one for a while, actually. But, yeah, I didn't know that I was on 99. There was no scoreboard in operation, only then the little old traditional one where you click, click, and move it around. And I didn't know I was on 99. Went for, probably what's called a slog.
Yeah.
The rest of the 99 were slogs, and this was another one. And sort of lost my grip. And I'm going to have a chat to Kookaburra because I'm not very happy with the grip that I've got.
You don't have to name names? Are you going to talk about David Hussey there?
Hussey will be there, but I was nervous because I actually let go of my bat again. Which is the same thing that happened to Peter Neville, and I don't want that to happen.
No.
But the bat didn't go and hit him, but I'm like, man, this can't happen. If you're swinging that hard, you can't lose your grip. Anyway, I slightly lost my grip, skewed it off. I'll give credit to the bowler. It was a slow, wide one, well bowled.
What, deliberately took pace off the ball?
No,
he
was slow most of the time.
Yeah, okay.
I was waiting for his fast one that actually never came. And then skewed one off the outside edge, caught a point, and everyone said, oh, did you know how much you won? And I said, well, no, I didn't. And if I did, I probably would have just dinked one into the gap for a single, raised the bat.
Well, that's our poll question, Hodgie, is on the back of your 99, is it better knowing you're on 99 or not knowing? You know, I said yes, because you can actually just punch a single and you're already visualising your celebration, or is it no, better being a surprise? In hindsight, we'll do the results at the end, but what's your way of going?
Well, I would probably prefer to know these days because I sort of know how to manipulate my way through the 90s. I think it's worse to know that you're on 99 than when you see your name
up on the
scoreboard.
Every ball on its merits if you don't know.
Yeah, but I think you get nervous when you actually enter the 90s. So would you play aggressively when you're on 88? You know, would you try and slog a couple of sixes or, you know, would you just go for the ones? Michael Slater had a horrible record.
He made a heap of them. He would have
had
close to 20 test tons.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear my 99 story?
I'd love to hear it. Did you get one?
99. I made a couple of hundreds for South Melbourne District Cricket. I might have got got 290s, but not 99, like a 91 and a 92.
Yeah.
And I'm playing my last year of cricket for Noble Park, who I played football for, Subbies.
Yeah.
We're in the semi-final
big
versus
club.
Caulfield.
Yeah.
So they're quite a strong team. And it's the last over, so I'm trying to maximise the runs. I'm stuffed because at this stage, at 35, I'm not doing, and I've got to bowl the next day too. This is tough. I'm batting with tail, so I'm trying to get myself on strike, right? So bowler comes in, bowls down the leg side, hits my pad, goes down to fine leg. So I'm running at the first one hard to get down the other end.
Yep.
Run down, get run out by about a metre. Might have been 2 metres. I was nowhere near it, right?
You weren't that quick anyway.
Dismissed, leg by, walking off. The boys at Noble Park go, do you know how many you're on? No. 99. I've run myself out on 99. So I'm spewing a bit, but we want to maximise the runs. Then one of the other Noble Park boys, I think it might have been Johnny Stones. Stones is giving it the umpire, very perceptive person, Johnny, has said the umpire hasn't actually indicated leg by, right?
No way.
No, leg by. So as the bowler's running in, we're waiting to get stopped, get the call of the leg by. As soon as he bowls that ball, everyone just goes upright. I raised my bat because I've just scored 100 off the field.
No way. Because you can't change your decision.
You can't change your decision.
That's amazing.
So I don't know if there's been more unbelievable hundreds than that where you actually reach it off the field. So I want to thank that umpire.
Yeah, I'd be interested to find out from any of our listeners if they know of any obscure 99s.
And the players on the field, and there's probably
That's
about
awesome.
200 people there too. They're going, why
so
are they?
So did you actually bowl the ball?
What are they going
Imagine
off?
You got a wicket. And you celebrated your 100th at the same time.
Yeah, my mate got out, number 10, you know, Ash Pereira. And he's going, why'd you cheer when I got out? Well, I raised my 100 as you got out.
That's pretty cool.
Hey, Hodgie, let's get into international cricket. I tell you what, Ash's review of Brisbane, I absolutely loved the test match. I don't remember a more competitive test match at the Gabba for, well, since I've been covering as a commentator and playing, and I thought England very good for 3 days and one session. And in the end, those key moments didn't seize the moment, England. But one man who did seize the moment, and I'll be interested to hear your thoughts, Stephen Smith, when you think he can't go another level, he's going another level. He's 141, and it wasn't... You wouldn't say it was a brilliant knock. It wasn't his best stroke play. But for actually sheer stubbornness, leadership, you know, as we saw often from Ricky Ponting in that first test match. Yeah. And also England tried every plan and he found an answer to everything. Stephen Smith, at the moment, if he keeps progressing at this way, it's Sir Donald Bradman who will never get beaten.
Yeah,
Greg Chappell and Ricky Ponting are the two best Australia, second best player since I've been alive, for my thinking. Stephen Smith, he's going to average in the 60s, something no one else has done besides Sir Donald Bradman.
I think, well, he will if he continues the way he's gone. The only thing is how long he'll go for is, you know, you'd probably think that he might fade a little bit in his last couple of years, as did Ricky did for a fraction. It's hard to sustain that level. It's ridiculous how good these.
Well, you can have a very
are.
Good series, average 45, and your average goes down.
Yeah. it was amazing skill, actually. This was Test cricket at its best. These first, you know, 3 days were really high quality Test match cricket, where, you know, England went into the plan with trying to, you know, keep our quicks out there for as long as possible, and they did that. And then Steve Smith just came in. We were a fraction under pressure as well. They're on top, England. And I thought, we're in a lot of drama here. And Steve Smith just knuckled in and just thought, this attack can't get me out. And it just showed.
Well, in some ways, that was their theory, a bit like the Dave Warner theory. Yeah. Don't worry about getting them out. Just negate their boundaries. But that's okay if the patience battle gets won.
Yeah.
But the arm wrestle, well, it was like Sylvester Stallone in Over the Top, the arm wrestling movie. Stephen Smith went all Sylvester Stallone and won it there. So we're going to go through the good, the bad, and the ugly. So obviously a big tick for Stephen Smith.
Yep.
The next guy I wanted to talk about was Nathan Lyon. And he said some comments going into the series. Matty Pryor, the English wicketkeeper, had a crack at him on Twitter.
Didn't
Mitchell
they?
Johnson, who we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. He is the strongest, the best executor of tweets in world cricket, Mitchell Johnson. But back to Nathan Lyon, the English press said, oh, well, watch out, he's going to cop it. I tell you what, he strode out there. And I know it turned on day one. It was a unique Gabba pitch.
Yeah.
But no English batsman besides maybe Moeen Ali actually had a plan against him. And then on top of that, his unbelievable execution and skill, the run out of Vince. So he had a brief
moment. It was a game changer.
He cut the angle. He picked the ball up cleanly. He got rid of it very quickly as well. Execution, bit like his bowling.
Yeah.
So a big tick, a very big good to Nathan Lyon.
Yep, he was. He's definitely in the good, the bad, and the ugly. He's topping the good list. He was amazing. That run out was not surprised either. That's what he practiced for. He practiced pretty hard on his fielding, and he controls that point cover region with immense skill. His bowling was tremendous. I mean, we know that he's always been good. He gets questioned in the subcontinent. He delivered. His record's unbelievably good for a finger spinner. And the trajectory and the revolutions that come out, I saw Warnie talking about it in the mid-break there.
Yeah.
Just explaining the difference between him and Moeen Ali. I thought that was a really cool insight, just showing where the ball's released from, just a slight millimeter angle of change as to why he's probably a better spinner.
So the overspin of Lyon
yep.
is defeating the side spin of Ali.
Yes. In this game it is, yes. I think that Moeen Ali has to have – he's the type of bowler that if you turn one out of 10, you're dangerous, but he just didn't turn any. So you're not dangerous at all. Nathan Lyon.
He's getting compared to Warnie, and it's not, he doesn't have, I don't think he's got the sledging of Warnie, but I think the body language and the belief is, you know, it's Warn-esque.
Yeah, confidence is amazing. He's got the backing now as well. So I think for him to be successful in Asia in that last Indian tour was massive. I think that was one of those things which might probably bug him behind his back, just as a finger spinner, thinking it's tough. We know that Ashwin, he's got a ridiculously good record. When he comes out here, it's hard. The struggle, even the Turbinator, Harbhajan Singh, when he came out here, didn't dominate as much.
Murali and Harbhajan, they're averaging 70 or 80 a wicket out.
Yeah, it's incredible. So he's absolutely, it's a good tick. I'm surprised by the tactics of England. If I was looking at Stark, Cummings and Hazelwood, I'd be trying to take down Nathan Lyon for as many runs as I possibly could.
Because, well, we're going to talk about that a little bit later, right, I think, in the bad or the ugly stage.
Righto.
Good, Patrick Cummins.
Yep.
Patrick Cummins only got 4 wickets. We'll talk about his bowling first, but he just looked hostile. And his ability to – he bowled a reverse swinging in-swinger to Stoneman after taking him across the crease, and Stoneman's defence was very, very good in this test match against the Quicks, then slipped in the quicker in-swinger, knocked him over. And then the way he dismissed Joe Root, the English captain, they had a ball that was reverse swinging. It actually went into a damp area, got replaced – by a new conventional swinging ball.
And
it swung conventional, which the new balls didn't.
Yeah.
And then he set up a route with conventional outswing, attacked the stumps, took him across the crease. Joe's head was falling across, big innie, LBW. So very, very good from Cummins. But also his batting.
Yeah.
He blocked the straight ones, let go of the wide ones that he wasn't interested in scoring. And when he wanted to score, he did. I think they could have mixed it up a little bit. He didn't get enough short pitch bowling. Maybe they didn't want to cop it back from their end. But that was an amazing first test match, a home test match for Patrick Cummins.
Yeah, he was unbelievable. Those two dismissals, similar to the Nathan Lyon game-changing run out, the dismissal of Stoneman, also Root, you could just see the energy of which the Australians got from that as well. They were huge wickets. As you said, Stoneman had played the ball on its merits really, really well. And Cummo just nailed him there, as he did Joe Root as well, who was looking comfortable for 50 again. And then that's what can happen when you bowl 145 plus. You can just get blown away at any given time. That's the great thing.
Well, it makes it unrelenting, doesn't it? Because
you
get through Stark and Hazelwood, and then you've probably got our ugliest bowler to face.
Yes. It's not great, is it? And that's what I'm talking about. Sure, you're having a dip at the casual off-spin Nathan Lyon.
Hey, what did you think? I'll put a good here. The Stephen Smith and Sean Marsh partnership.
Yep, good, very good. And we were under pressure in that situation. I think, we were 4 down for not many, 80 or 90, I think, from memory. Played well. Marsh looked good at the crease. He looked balanced. He looked comfortable. And he would have been under a fair bit of pressure as well.
How do you go watching Sean Marsh? It's sort of the first 10 runs, and his dad's one of the biggest nail biters I've ever seen, him and Ricky Ponting. Like they're almost chewing him down to their knuckles. Poor Jeffrey Marsh, who gave away the cap to Cam Bancroft, Test cap 451. So I know, Swampy, there's no more passionate man about Australia than Jeff Marsh. But I get nervous for his first 10 runs.
Look, his record is probably going to suggest that he's a bit Marcus North-like, where he's vulnerable early. You can get naught, and then get 150. That's the way Sean Marsh is.
He was amazing, Marcus North. You know, his 5 test hundreds. They were as good a hunt. They were David Gower-like hundreds.
Unbelievable tons. And he was such a lovely, gifted-looking player, as is Sean Marsh. But if you average 40 in sort of first-class cricket or 38, 40, which is what they did, to me, that seems you're vulnerable early.
Yes.
Because you're going to get big scores. You have to get big scores to play for Australia, which is what North and Marsh have done in the past. But it means that you're going to fluctuate. So we've got to understand that in between the brilliance of Sean Marsh, there's going to be a couple of dismissals where you go, oh, wow, how'd that happen?
That's happening,
yeah. And then you'll go duck, 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 and then get 160. If you can live with that, then that's great.
I'm going another good, as in Josh Hazelwood, who... Leaked a few runs in the first innings, but he got the ball late on day three.
Yeah.
And wow. And the thing with Josh is, it's funny when you're commentating, he just looks massive.
There's
the cricketers out there. Yeah. And then you go, my God, he is humongous. And the one thing I can tell when Josh is going really well, the momentum of his run-up.
Right.
The momentum is run up. When he's gathering good speed and not just those little short steps in the middle there, when he's generating momentum through his run up, you just know it's going to be a good ball because he's got such a repeatable action and it's bouncy.
Yeah.
It's fast enough and he can actually shape the ball when he bowls full. But I thought his intimidation, Alistair Cook, I'll talk about that dismissal. I wasn't as hard on Cook as that one, but I actually called the ball. He was going to get Vince out.
Right.
I just went the ball before. I go, Vince is in trouble here.
Yeah. Show
me a cover driver. One of your mentors.
Throw me a man playing a cover driver in first class cricket. Throw me a dismissal.
I thought about that, and guess what?
Yep.
He nicked off the next game. But I'm not sure if he faced Hazelwood. But
I hate facing Joshy. I've faced him a couple of times. When he's up and running, he's just that uglyish Glenn McGrath person where you don't know where you're going to score a run. It hits high on the bat. I thought he was just a fraction underdone probably in the first innings. He hasn't played for a while. He's been injured. He played that Shield game and probably didn't bowl that much because Mitchell Starc ripped the life out of
South Australia.
And they only played for 2.5 days. So he probably didn't get the miles under his belt.
There might be just a little bit of a case there.
Yeah, but I think the scary thing is for England is that he'll be working nicely into his work come next test, Perth, Melbourne and Sydney. He's a gun player.
The other one I want you to comment, the good for Australia, just the partnership, Warner and Bancroft, how important it is. If you're going to develop into a great team, you need a great opening partnership that just sets the tone.
Oh, what I love... What I liked about Cameron is that he just came in. He's obviously in good form. He worked well with Warner. Warner seemed to work well with him. I think that's important as well. What's Warner had? 10 or 11 partners in his career. That's probably going to happen. People are going to come and go. But he looked like he enjoyed Cameron's posture at the crease and there was some nice dialogue there. Jimmy Anderson threw the ball at him and hit him just below the belly there.
Ooh, yeah.
In typical Justin Langer fashion, stood up there as an opening batter and just let Jimmy know that, hey, I'm here and I'm not going anywhere. I really like that sort of attitude from Cameron.
The thing from Bancroft was he's almost the anti-Stephen Smith. Stephen Smith fidgeted 10,000 times in his 141, where Bancroft, it's minimal movement. He takes two or three steps away from the crease, two or three steps back in, sets up. And as the bowler's running in, you just go, gee, that's a good setup. He looks like a good player.
Yeah, he's organised.
It's funny how calm, uncomplicated techniques actually give you confidence.
Yep. Which is probably something which the selectors have looked at. And we know that he was a person of interest a couple of years ago, playing a test
T20
for Australia. So they obviously know that he's a good player. He's got a good temperament. And to get that partnership, really, I would be thinking that it makes England nervous. The only thing that's going to save England from here on in is this pink ball and whether they can find their way on a lucky toss and make sure that Australia batting in the dark, because I think it's going to be painful for them.
Well, talking about England, let's go the good for England from that test match. As I said, for 3 days in one session, I thought they were excellent. Mark Stoneman opening up against the quicks, thought he was very good.
Yeah.
I thought he brought a calmness, particularly for James Finch, who wants to score.
Yeah.
He let the ball go. He can cut. He can cover drive. He can nudge it through the leg side there. We'll talk about it, the way he plays spin later on. But for your first test in Australia against a potent attack, not the quickest Gabba pitch, I thought he did well.
Yeah, he did well. He did really well. Both Stoneman and Vince, I thought, played a really good patient game. They'd obviously talked about it and thought, this is our game plan, which was against Vince. Stoneman looked compact. He looked hard to bowl to. He looked like that if he can be there for 2 or 3 hours, if Cook and him can be there for 2 or 3 hours,
yeah,
that'd be a frustrating duo to see.
I think he might get better actually on quicker pitches. So he can use the speed of the pitch as opposed to trying to create his own power?
Well, probably Gabba's probably the hardest where you probably have to leave the most balls. So you'll probably find that the more the series goes on, the more balls he'll actually hit. He'll be able to deflect more balls, might find a few more cuts, might find a few more punch drives. But he looked organised. He looked exactly what Trevor Bayliss is probably looking for and say, just don't get any early wickets against Hazelwood.
In both innings, I thought so. James Vince, he's the one that was averaging 19 in test match cricket, so the biggest on him. But to get 83 in your first innings, his cover driving, as we said, can lead to your dismissal, but it is such a beautiful shot to watch.
Yep.
And he played about 10 of them.
Yeah, he was magnificent. He was selective in that first innings, which was probably what he wasn't in the second innings. And you can do that. You can be feeling comfortable about yourself and your result in your first innings, but test cricket's tough. You got to implement exactly what he did in the first innings, in the second, and he would have been right on the top of that good list from England.
So you've got to put it back on the opposition, and that's what I thought this man did very well, Moeen Ali, with the bat. I thought he scores quickly, but also he's the one English player. I thought Joe Root looked very impatient facing Nathan Lyon. I thought he was going to get out every ball.
Yeah.
But Moeen Ali, all of a sudden Stoneman, it's not Milan, they can't score. And he just runs down the wicket a little bit, punches it through the leg side.
Yeah.
Lyon goes, oh, I don't want him to do that. Drop short outside of stump. Oh, I'll cut that one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'll straighten up bin. Okay, I swept.
Yeah.
For me, I just went, well, this guy's got a game plan and in some ways showing the other lefties, this is what you got to do.
He was great. And his record shows you why he's a gun. He's been, I tell you what, Shane Warne pumped him up more than anything on Channel 9 coverage when he came out to bat. And there's a reason, because he can play. He's a good cricketer. I love the way
that... get away from you, I reckon. You go, oh, he's a bit lucky, he's a bit flashy. Oh, no, he's 50 or 40.
We just didn't let Nathan Lyon settle, which is what everyone else did. Any spin bowler just wants you to be camped there at the crease. And if you're not getting wickets, you're creating dots for the team and building pressure, which is exactly what they let happen. I would have thought a better game plan was to do what Moeen Ali did and take on Nathan Lyon and let our quicks bowl more overs. We haven't got a fourth seamer.
So, well, there's parts of the game I went, the good for England.
Yeah.
They've got a fifth bowling option.
Yep. But I like Moeen Ali. I can see him scoring a ton in this series if England's tail can hold up.
Yeah.
I think he's that gifted player that he can do it. We know that his record, he batted at 3 in the subcontinent when England toured there. So he's played against...
He bats 3 in first-class cricket.
He's a gun and he's got a good record. He was excellent.
Yeah, Root in the second innings. Thought... he showed why he's one of the best batsmen going around.
Yeah.
I'm worried about his susceptibility to LBWs, but it's going to be a hard one because he's always going to get critiqued compared to Stephen Smith. And as good as he batted, he didn't go on, but there were signs when Australia were all over England, there's times even... when he's attacking, you go, oh, God, this guy scores. But there's times when he's in defence and you go, oh, this guy's a good player.
He's a good player. I think he'll be a tough thorn in Australia's side for the future. It's almost like they've got this first test out of the way, England. We know they came in underdone. They know they were probably under pressure with some off-field issues. The captain's probably just happy to get that first one out the way.
Yeah.
Seen things that have worked. He'll know that his own game's in good working order, even though he's been out a couple of times. If he keeps getting to 50, sooner or later he's going to go on. He looked good at the crease, and he's a gun player.
The other one was I thought Anderson and Broad were excellent. They got wickets. They were economical. Their setup and plans were pretty good. I thought that the way they bowled and executed to Peter Hanscom, it always looked like, for me, I think Anderson will bowl a lot to Hanscom when he comes out. He's going to keep pushing him back and then the in-swing is going to come into play that Pete's going to have to build a game plan about that. But I thought the veterans were good with the ball.
Yeah, they were good. They were both good. And they've always been good. They're probably just lacking a little bit of help from the other end. It's almost like the West Indies when they had Ambrose and Walsh and they just didn't have anyone to come on after them and keep that pressure and skill which they provide. Or they don't have a firepower of... Brett Lee or a Cummings or someone like that you can chuck the ball to and make things happen. I thought Steve Finn could have backed them up nicely with his injury. Hurts.
Well, Mark Wood's the one for me.
Yeah,
I think he can bowl quite well in Australian conditions. He's out here with the Lions.
Yeah.
I think he's got a first-class game. I reckon if he's fit, I think he'd play.
Yeah, well, Ball just looked a fraction underdone as well, didn't he? And Woke's probably – he's a holding pattern sort of bowler that can be really dangerous. Don't underestimate him. He didn't have the result with his
good
with
cricketer,
the ball.
Good cricketer, yep. Just whether he's got that X factor out here, which he could. I mean, he had an unbelievable 2016.
I think he could in England. I mean, England
is a dominant player.
In Adelaide and also Melbourne, where you sort of bowl stump to stump, a little bit more, he could be dangerous.
Right, and they say in the nets, actually, he's the quickest bowler on the tour. What about the bad? We're doing the good, the bad, the ugly. Yeah. Thanks, Clint Eastwood. The bad, I haven't got a lot for the Aussies, but Usman's, Khawaja's playing of off spinners. He hasn't, the rumour that he wasn't confident against him, he didn't dispel that rumour. And Usamo and Ali bowled straight spinners.
He bowled straight.
Well, the straight spinners work against Usman. And Ricky Ponting, I was commentating with him on BT Sport. That front foot that gets outside the line of off stump, it actually hinders your ability to actually play, to actually go straight from your back lift to the ball. You've actually got to go around your front pad.
Yeah. He's in trouble. I can't believe that ball got him out, I must say. That's just a dead straight delivery that you just don't miss. I couldn't believe it. And good planning from England, though, to bring Moen straight on as well, though, when he was at the crease, because he's obviously got some demons in his thought process about off-spin bowling. To me, he needs to get in the nets, and as a cricket player, sometimes you just rip your pads off. When you're playing really good spin and you just have the bat in your gloves, you don't miss the ball.
Yep.
And just getting used to hitting the ball. He doesn't look like he wants to hit the off-spin. He was confused when he went to India because he took a few sweeps on and that didn't work. I think all these left-handed players are confused at the moment. I think England need to adopt the sweep. They're the kings of reverse sweeping and sweeping in all T20 and one-day cricket. We haven't seen one yet.
No.
We saw Moen sweep a cup. We haven't seen any reverse sweeps.
Why not? We saw one. Root attempted one.
One, yeah.
That was it, yeah.
But let's put pressure under there. I think Usman really needs to just either develop a game plan where he's just going to be mentally strong and say, this guy's just not going to get me out today.
I don't like the waiting for a bad ball, blocking, and then slog sweeping. No. You need something in between. The tempo is zero or 100.
Or just be honest and just say, you know what, I'm not good against this. And I'm just going to go, today this guy's not getting me out. I'm going to score that quickly against their quicks anyway because I'm a gun player.
Well, on some of these
quicks,
pitches, if he treated Moen Ali as a slow medium bowler, not spin, I think he'd play him a lot better.
Well, I think I saw Usman Khawaja get 200s in T20 cricket for Sydney Thunder. He faced plenty of off spin and he pumped them everywhere. And if he takes that, he should be running down and pumping that into the side screen when there's no turn.
That's the bad. Right, I'm going bad for England. And I reckon trends are any trend in sport or in music, fashion, although I am fashionably challenged, they're cool. They make you feel it with the in crowd.
Yeah.
Some trends you don't want, and that is being dismissed LBW consistently. So in Joe Root's last 30 innings, he's been LB 11 times and twice in this test match.
See, I think it's a smart play by Joe Root.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm thinking that if he's vulnerable for LBW, it means that the Stark, Cummins and Hazelwood aren't going to bump him.
Yeah, good call.
He knows as soon as they walk in, it's going to be full and straight. So he should win the battle. He's already won.
Yeah, I'm not going to get hurt here.
Nah.
I'll just put extra padding into my front pants. But we did talk about that, you know, that falling across, and it was good setup from the Australians. But some of the planned dismissals was a tick for the bowlers: Root, Hanscom, and Khawaja. What about ugly? I don't think I've got too much ugly for the Australians. The only one ugliness was hearing that at a very funny press conference by Cam Bancroft that indeed he has said he has the heaviest head in the Western Australian cricket squads. And they actually And first off, I thought of Mitchell Marsh. I went, Mitchell's not going to be. They call him the Bison.
He's got a huge melon.
So it's huge. You'd think it was heavy. So I was waiting for a response from Mitchell Marsh, and it hasn't come yet. But if you talk about the ugly, like to know that you've got the heaviest head going out, and that's going to be a weight issue. You've got to make sure, you know, talk about Joe Root falling across the crease. If Cam Bancroft, if you just see his head going towards the offside,
you know what?
You know his body's not going to be able to get him back under to the centre there. They actually, someone from the WACA tweeted out the actual sizes and weights.
Do you know what? I'm actually disturbed that someone actually weighs your head.
Yeah.
How has cricket come to physically weighing someone's melon to think that's important to play good cricket? It's disturbing that.
Yeah, I don't know. But, maybe helmet size, helmet weight. Is that what they're doing it for?
I thought there's only small to medium and large to extra large. They're the only two sizes.
Well, I think for Cam and Mitchell Marsh, the Bison, I think you're looking at triple extra large.
Well, do you know what? There's one other person that comes to mind who was the Hakeem Olajuwon of heads, Stuart McGill.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a head off. Let's have a head off between Bancroft, Marsh, and Stewie.
I wonder if we could measure away McGill's head for the biology report.
I remember McGill when he actually did walk out the bat. His actual face was pressed up against the grill. So if he actually did get hit in the head, it was a waste of time.
He walked out like RoboCop. We used to call him RoboCop. Yep. If you've seen the movie RoboCop.
Yep, I have seen that.
There was minimal, it was pretty straight up and down the way he walked out there. And he was a bit robotic in the way he looked around. Scored 40 against the Poms one day at the MCG, just backed away and kept hitting them through the offside.
Yeah, that's what he did.
That was his method. Well. Ugly for England. Okay, the tail batting is a real concern.
Real concern.
And Australia went in with, okay, which we had for years, make the opposition tail feel uncomfortable, right? And generally that is led by short pitch bowling. The way that they played them, particularly young Jake Ball, says to me, they are going to cop a lot of them because they don't look like they've got a game plan. If you duck... if you keep ducking, I'm not going to bounce you.
No.
It's a waste of energy. But by standing up and, rear gunning your gloves and your bat towards the ball, you're in real trouble here. And this could be the key to the series, that Australia just knock over the tail and England find it hard to knock over Stark, Hazelwood, Cummins and Lyon.
Well, clearly Jake Ball's never been to what was then the AIS Cricket Academy in Adelaide run by Rod Marsh, where we had bouncer practice on.
Maybe you should get there.
Exactly. Full strength bowling machine on as fast as it can go, 100 miles an hour. And we were just told to get in there and deal with it. We all just ducked because that's what we did. Jake Ball's obviously never done that. And he's probably not going to experience it in English county cricket either.
Not at that speed.
You're not going to see 145 consistently. Back to that story, though, what happened was that while we're there, Ricky Ponting was in our group. So we all went in.
He'd be headbutting him.
Yeah, well, we all went in there, head guard on, arm guards, chest guards, rah, rah. And we knew that as soon as you let the ball go, it was good. We just ducked.
Yeah.
So we ducked. Anyway, Ricky was the last one to come out. And Ricky just had his hat on.
No.
And we just assumed that he was going to do exactly the same as the rest of us. So, we're going to think he's just going to duck. We wouldn't believe what happened. Ricky stood up and he smacked this ball past square leg at the rate of knots. And the other 14ers just looked at it and we're gone, no, that just didn't happen. We've just seen an image which can't be right. So Rod let the next one go. Ricky went bang. And this continued on for 15 balls. Ricky walked out and Rod said, righto, boys, that's how you do it. That's how you play the short ball. He says, you blokes, get back in there and do it again. So Jimmy Marr was first cab off the rank. He was the opening batter. So off he went. First ball, Rod let go. Out of the bowling machine. Bang. Straight into Jimmy Marr's head. Down he went. He stretched it off and gone. Martin Love was number three. He walks out. Martin was generally laconic and slow anyway.
Nice
he just
play.
Sort of generally lifted the gloves up. Bang, straight on the gloves. He's got a broken finger. He's out. We all went through. After the session, we had two broken digits and two concussions. So
what did you do? Did you
I copped a couple of glancing blows on the
helmet.
What do
you do? I'm visualising it. I would be going inside the line straight away, like outside off stump, and then self-protection, then playing a shot.
Rod was cagey like that because he just...
Oh, he'd know what you do.
Yeah,
he'd,
yeah. He'd get just me. Moved the he'd bowling machine. And he took so much pride in actually pinning you.
So if you thought... So what was your thoughts, you know, of Ponting at that stage?
Yeah.
You obviously thought that, you know, he was the leader of the elite.
Yeah.
But when he did that...
Oh, it was ridiculous. That was the moment where you just thought, oh,
this guy's a
legend.
Different level.
Unbelievably good. And if you had any money in the world, you should have gone and just go, this guy's going to play 100 tests because he's a gun.
Well, there's physical fear and there's mental fear.
Yeah.
And my ugliness for the England team, the next one is the left-handers playing of Nathan Lyon.
Yeah.
In particular, Stoneman and Milan, they just looked mentally, tactically devoid of any plan.
No.
But they're top order batsmen. They're going to have to play against it. I thought it was ugly. Those two dismissals were so predictable.
Well,
they have to change it up.
Well, the only other thing that they can do, hopefully, is they might have to come up with a plan that if they're honest with their communication and say, you know what, this is just not our strength. We're not great against right-arm orthodox, as are some right-hand players to left-arm orthodox. But as a unit, they might have to go, well, Vince, Joe, all our other right-handers are going to have to be super aggressive towards Nathan Lyon. And if they can collectively have courage to do that, it might free the left-handers up. But if they're just sitting there blocking maidens...
You will eventually... I know what it's like myself as a bowler. You eventually bowl a good enough ball. Now, England, 98-99, that series, they had a player called Mark Ramplakash. You know, lovely-looking player.
100-100s.
100-100s. Yeah. Really good man. He's out there helping with the batsmen now. Even just my own incident. I reckon I got him out in Perth and Adelaide, and he didn't look too troubled,
yeah.
But he couldn't score. And I just felt like, you know, in Perth, you know, I was just bowling just outside off stump,
yeah.
You know, foolish length. And yeah, Perth, the extra bounce.
Yeah.
I just went, I'm just going to bowl the exactly same ball, but I'm going to release a little bit higher,
yeah.
And I'm going to put a little bit more on it.
You know?
And it was enough to get extra bounce outside edge.
Yeah.
And then in Adelaide, a bit the same, reverse swing, and I was just bowling out little outies.
In-swinger.
And then I bowled the big in-swinger and knocked him over. And I'm not so much giving myself... You know, a tick.
I would give myself a huge rap. That's just skill personified.
I know what it's like to bowl to good batsmen who don't hurt you, and you feel like eventually I'm going to bowl a good enough ball, and that's what Nathan Lyon thinks about these two lefties.
I reckon he knows he's going to get them, and I reckon he'd be just saying to Steve Smith, as soon as they come in, just chuck me the ball. I reckon he's got them right where he wants them. And even if the thing is, if they don't attack him, even if he walks off the day and says, Skipper, I've bowled 25 overs and I've got none for 50, that's still a good result.
Yeah.
That's good team result bowling. Because we haven't got the fourth seamer, he has to take that donkey work up.
I think that's – you talked about it early. I mean, if England can force a bowling change, i.e. line off, that's going to really pressure our quicks.
Well, if I keep them, I'm surprised. What did we bowl? We bowled close to 120, 130 overs.
Yeah, they got some big overs under
So they did their job. They actually kept them out there for as long as possible. The one thing they did is they faltered in the second innings. You generally have to make 700 runs in a test match to win it. They had 300 on the board. If they go out there and get another 250 or 270, they're close to a winning total of winning a test match.
Well, it looks funny. 170 done easily, no wickets down. 250 even would have been a different target.
No. And
then you've got scoreboard pressure on a slow-scoring test match.
Yep, true. And also, the England bowlers didn't have enough time to rest either, especially Anderson and Broad. If you back out there bowling, you know, half a day after you've just finished, after they bowled 140, you no chance. There was always going to knock them off pretty comfortably, Australia.
Hodgie, that's the good, the bad,
and the ugly.
Brisbane Test match. Looking ahead, Adelaide preview, the first day-night Ashes Test match, and I've been at the last two day-night Test matches there. It's been awesome. Big crowds. They really flock there in Adelaide. The grass, Damien Ho, the curator there, he's just gradually taking off more grass. You know, the New Zealand one might have been close to 10 millimetres. He's talking about 6 millimetres for this test match.
I thought the first one was 14, or Shield Cricket's 14.
I think Shield Cricket's 14.
Yeah.
There's more for Shield Cricket.
Yeah.
And but I think that's a little bit of that we haven't got into a day five yet. I still think they should have gone longer. It was poor batting in either. The pink Kookaburra ball has actually got a bit better, extra lacquer on it. They've got the colour of the seam right. It's a little bit smaller there. But I suppose everyone says how it's going to suit England more. I question whether someone like Mitchell Starc, who was just okay.
Didn't he just get 12 wickets for New South Wales?
Yeah, he just got 8 for 73 there. We talk about their tail. I think someone like Mitchell Stark's going to be a threat. But overall, how good is it to see a day-night pink ball test match at the Adelaide Oval?
Yeah, it's Ashes. Great. I love it. This was the highlight of last year's test match arena, Adelaide Oval. I'm not a fan of it going 5 days. I thought the three-day spectacle was amazing.
I think it's just gone into 4 days. Yeah. That's okay.
I'm happy with the wickets falling. I like seeing new batsmen under pressure if it does swing. I like the manipulation of trying to get the opposition batting under lights because you know that's where you're vulnerable. And that was probably
what's... I just saw on the website CricViz, like that.
Yeah.
They actually did analysis. They're saying, in that ugly period, the ball doesn't move anymore.
Right.
But they reckon the lighting, it's more about the lighting change. It's definitely not as visible.
Yeah.
The whole surroundings, let alone the ball, compared to earlier in the day. So it's less about what the ball's doing. And it's more about the visibility, which will never change.
Well, that's interesting. I'm colorblind, so I can relate to that. I can stipulate that it's very difficult, as did Chris Rogers flying with a pink ball. We once trialed.
Bucky reckons he's got black hair. I go, mate, your hair's red. He's got nice. So I look you're in the red, mirror mate. And it's black.
Yeah, well, unless he dyes it and goes to Marilyn Manson or something like that, it's going to be red forever. Warney reckons he's blonde too. We know that he's not.
I was thinking about Gothic cricketers. I reckon Mitchell Johnson was the closest one when he had the earring and he had that real black hair and
What about what was his name from the spinner? Oldroyd. Brad Oldroyd.
Yeah, he was Gothic.
Gothic. He loved it.
But Adelaide, I think it's going to be sensation. It's going to be a great spectacle. I think we could have a pretty close test match if England bowl really well. And the top order... Their guns are going to have to score heavily.
Look, I'm not sure. I think that one thing is this Adelaide ground is probably the best in Australia at the moment. I love it. It's just picturesque. The architecture on the ground's amazing. The night test adds to it as well.
Oh, what about the local Adelaideans?
Oh,
they just walk over. I reckon there must be about 10,000... Melburnians that go over as well.
Yeah, I know, a few guys that are going to go over there and nail a few West End drafts for sure. They're going to certainly enjoy that. It's a good venue.
I think we need a guide to it.
You want a guide?
We'll do that a little bit later. Right, are you happy to
I'll
do
give
that?
You that. Yeah, I know Adelaide pretty well.
When you think about England's team after the Brisbane test, they go, we're just lacking one player. I tell you what, if we had a number six who can swing the ball both ways and also make test 250s, that would be pretty handy.
And
they've got one man.
They've got one. He's Ben in New Stokes. Zealand, isn't he?
How are you reading the situation, Bradley? How he's just popped over to New Zealand, right? Catch up with his family. So that's pretty legit.
Yeah.
Now has been okayed by New Zealand Cricket, ECB, and NOC, Canterbury to play. The thing is, he's been banned from international cricket from the ECB,
right?
Not domestic.
For how long?
I think indefinitely. Till the thing is, he hasn't been charged yet. So at this
stage,
he's not guilty.
Why would you be banned from international cricket and you can play domestic cricket? I don't see the difference.
Well, I suppose they've made a call that if you can't represent England, but you can represent someone else who's not under our. I'd assume they might have, if Canterbury was still going, they might have made it because that's their obviously under their would be under their guidelines.
I'm surprised the Andrew McDonald wasn't under this sort of stuff. He's generally pretty good with that. He could have got him to Victoria to play a couple of games.
Well, possibly.
Or why isn't he allowed to play Big Bash?
Well, I think he could until we. But I think they'd
be a good
feeling that
Big Bash.
We'll get a decision from the courts by then,
right?
I'd reckon. The ruling would be imminent.
Yeah.
And I don't think he could play in the test match until there was a ruling or a charge.
Do you know what? It's a
or not charged.
It's a little bit difficult. I like the fact that he's back playing.
But he will
cricket.
Be cricket fit
yeah,
and available.
I think
for
it
Perth.
Could be a masterstroke from Andrew Strauss behind the scenes. There's no doubt that you need him to be cricket fit. We've seen that anyone that comes into a test match underdone is going to find themselves under a lot of pressure and probably fail. So if they get some games under him in the short future, then that's pretty cool. There's no cricket going on in England, so genius.
And they're playing first-class cricket, so he'll get enough overs and runs there.
Of course he will.
But we've just got to decide what happens legally. That's the thing. Whether, you know, if he gets himself fit and he's still not charged, will the ECB look at playing him in the third test match?
Well, if they go down this test match, I don't think there's any point rushing him back, and I think you're just kicking into touch and probably go, well, this series is probably gone. I can't see England winning the last three in a row. I wouldn't have thought that. He probably needed to play this one. But having said that, there's other matters which need to be brought in, which are probably more important than playing a game of cricket. Some things need to be dealt with. But it's a shame he's not there. He's an exciting player, and he probably would have made a hell of a difference in you know that first test match. He's certainly not going to block Nathan Lyon. We know that. He's very aggressive against spin. Good player of spin. And his bowling would have been pretty good as well.
Hodgie, time for that segment of yours that gets everyone a little bit apprehensive, although there is some blokes, some cricketers, they don't care. They're actually blatantly going, Hodge, we don't care, target me, and we're just going to go harder here. It's the Bradley Hodge Social Media Self-Promoter Award. Who have we got for this one?
I'm pretty excited. We've got a few that have dobbed others in, actually, which is
we're getting
cool.
more of this, and we encourage it.
We certainly do encourage it. We'll start with the overseas, okay? It's people from overseas. I'm going to start with this one. Who's a tennis player. Maria Sharapova makes an honourable mention. She's just put in, it's a fun afternoon with at Porsche Newsroom at the LA Auto Show, and there's a photo of her flaunting her goods in sitting in a Porsche Boxster GTS convertible.
So is she just having a lovely afternoon that just happens to have a Porsche there? Or are you saying that this could be a self-promotion?
Well, I know that she actually doesn't live in LA. We know that she's self-promoting herself, flown in. She's probably got a free Porsche for her liking from Porsche. Put this on your Twitter feed, young lady, and off you go.
Yeah, well, that's our first tennis one. Yep. I'm thinking that that's going to vote very heavily.
Yes, and then we'll move over to some football. Brandon Ellis, who is known...
Premiership player,
who... I loved his story about leading in about the three things which has affected his life. That was a great story if anyone hasn't read that. Brandon Ellis is now that he's a premiership player, is now out there self-promoting on social media. Brandon Ellis has got, similar to AB de Villiers, we've just launched the Silver Steel, and it's a photo of a watch. Now, it gets worse. Perfect Christmas gift. Shop here, Brandon. Come on.
Mate, we're not following. Like, we will be the judges of what's an ideal Christmas present.
We don't fall for that. We don't fall for that.
So he's seeing the bright lights.
Yeah, he's seeing the bright lights. And sticking on footy, Michael Sholley, who we know in the cricket world as the director of Melbourne Cricket Club, was my coach at Melbourne Cricket Club, dogged Dane Swanning as well.
Oh, so I love that. Thanks, Shol.
We love that, Shol. Thank you. Picked up my new wheels courtesy of Freeway Melbourne. We know that. We know that you got a free car from Freeway Melbourne, Dane. Beautiful Mustang it was.
Yeah.
Convertible red one. Dane.
We know what you're doing.
We know what you're up to.
We
there,
love
buddy.
Your tweets in games and all that sort of stuff.
We know what you're
like,
up to.
He's a very funny man, but you're voting today.
Now, heading home into the cricket world, Shane Watson gets a mention as well.
We haven't seen Watto for
a while. No, we haven't. Because he's normally very particular, Shane, on getting out there his messages about children's athletics and so forth.
Yeah.
More health reasons. Now, this is a big one. His awesome day with at John Cena. Now, John Cena is, for those that don't know, one of the biggest WWE wrestling stars. Only the best bats for this champion. My God, Shane.
There you go.
Get off his knob, please.
Does he even know what a cricket bat is?
He hasn't got a clue.
He's doing it for the Sydney Thunder. And Watto's happy to promote because he plays Sydney Thunder, but then he's just snuck his bats in there.
Yes. Yes. His own bats.
No shame.
Yes, no shame. We're not on that. Matt Ellis has kindly dobbed in Michael Clarke again for... Michael's done his own. This was his thing. I'm back in the gym today after doing.
So the problem
commentary.
Is, I saw Michael up at the Brisbane Test match, but because they're dressed up in suits, I can't see his calves.
No.
Why is he putting so much work into them?
I don't know why he's doing any sort of leg work at all. Which brings us to our next one, Michael Haslow, whoever Michael is. Thank you, but he's dobbed in Chris Tremlett, who Chris Tremlett's gone good to catch up with at. Giffer 18, who is an ECB coach, today at the gym, just putting him through his paces. Now, I don't know whether Chris is out there trying to promote himself to get on this Ashes because he's been there before.
He was very good in 2010-11.
Now, if anyone's seen Chris at the moment...
Well, we've alluded to it in past biology reports. Yeah. He's actually a bodybuilder.
He's looking more like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But did you know, when I said that, did you know he'd be that big?
No
way.
He
seriously looks like Arnie, not in Terminator, in Pumping Iron.
No, and I'd be self-promoting as well if I looked that big.
Actually, he's not going to vote heavily there because I feel the same. And we loved your work as a bowler, Chris. But I tell you what, he might be a bigger name as a body, but he's massive.
Massive.
He's 6'7 as well.
Massive. And...
See, I'd rather him give John Cena a bat, not Shane Watson.
Absolutely. Now, Brain and Power Podcast have just self-promoted for us to self-promote them. I don't even know what they do, but they said,
podcast.
Yeah, they said, Flem and Hodgie, can you self-promote our podcast on your podcast self-promotion?
Well, we've just done it.
Brain and Power Podcast. So there
well
you go.
Played by you guys.
Okay. And the last one, which I love because it ticks off nearly every box you can possibly do, and that's Damian Martin, the great number four for Australia.
He's a prolific social media
genius
guy.
Yep.
Not always into self-promotion. Has he gone into that sort of area?
He's gone in big style now. So generally, Marto just makes comments and promotes certain things.
He's a good retweeter. You know what I love about Marto?
Good retweeter.
You put something out there, he retweets it, and he likes it every time.
This is out there. So when you do the at Bridge Climb, which is the Sydney Harbour Bridge Climb, so we know as soon as he's done that, it's free anyway.
Yep.
With the great...
Marto's not paying for
with
that.
With the great at Beefy Botham.
Oh, well,
so he's just hot knobbing as well. Incredible walk across the bridge, blah, 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 plus a funny link cross to at Sky News, blah, blah, blah. So he's nailed three things there, of which he's probably getting paid to walk across the bridge.
I think there's a freebie. I want to be associated with Beefy.
Yep.
That's a good thing. And then potential gig.
Yep.
Sky News.
Yep. So well done, Marta. That's a tick in every box there. So that's our social media self-promoting for the week. That's probably it
for
me.
Well, if I can do the votes, I think the minimum ones, I think, one vote to, I think, to big Chris Tremlett.
Yeah.
Because it's self-promotion, but you're a big man and we don't want to get on the wrong side of you. And it looks like you're going pretty well in your new career there.
Yep.
I'll go twos to Brian and Power Podcast because well played.
Well done.
You've asked us to come on and plug it and we've done it. We've just fallen for your trap.
Yep.
I'll go a little sneaky two for Dane Swan. The freebies.
We love that.
But generally he's a gun tweeter. Mm. Three votes for Brandon Ellis, who, well done, you're a Tigers premiership player, and really sort of in that mid tier. He's not your Martin and Rance and Riewoldt, that top tier in like star power.
No,
I think he's trying to get into that area and say he's available. Three votes for Watto, him and John Cena.
Yep.
And no doubt he would have talked about what you do for core stability.
Wouldn't they?
Like, to go from a bit of fun to go, but seriously, what do you do? Because Watto's a fitness freak. And Matty Michael Clarke, I'm giving him three every week.
Yeah.
Three every week.
Can you have a chat to him when you see him in Adelaide?
Well, he just calls me champ.
Right. Okay. Is he one of those?
You can't. Where do I go from there?
How many hat tricks did he get for his country?
It's a good call. No, he does say Flemo a bit. Four votes for Sharapova because, a fun afternoon. I bet you're not having a fun afternoon if you're not driving your Porsche or someone's driving it for you. And I'm going to go, I'm going to go five for Marto.
Yeah.
Damian Martin, because he's got three ticks. Yep.
Yeah.
The bridge climb, boom, freebie. Beefy Botham, I hang out with famous people.
Yep.
And boom, three, Sky News.
Yep.
I'm available for some work.
Yep.
DJ's like that. That's Hodgie's social self-promoter. I want to give another social media star a mention, and he doesn't self-promote.
No.
He just targets people like when he was bowling. He's the greatest tweeter in the
greatest
ever universe at the moment. Mitchell Johnson, we're loving your work, Mitch. And he's so Australian. He backs the Aussie players to a hilt.
Yep.
So anything that a current English player or commentator or coaching staff says out there, he just nails them. So
we love it.
He was all over, obviously, KP and him, you know, the rivalry's massive.
Yep.
I heard they nearly had a blue at the 2009, was it Cardiff, when KP kept hitting the balls at the Aussies and Johnson walked over, and then Big Stewie Clark, Big Safras got in between them there. So
you'd be scared of Safras.
No, I love Saf. So there's never been there, but when KP's, you know, saying things, Johnson's just out there, you know, just KP. He also had a crack at Michael Vaughan, who we love, but Vaughan's out there a bit. You're carrying on how great the Pommy fast bowlers bowling the 140s were. Ever since the second ball, the second new ball, they've been bowling medium pace. How about they bend their backs? Hashtag sweatband swingers, right? So smashing him there. KP come back. You know, something about is your management tweeting and that didn't work well for KP.
Even
the other tweeters went there Johnson just went, good response. Hashtag flog, which I think's a bit harsh. And then so KP's blocked him.
Right.
So if that's the ultimate in, you know, he got 40 wickets of 12.
That's got nothing to come back at.
So that means you've just conceded. So that's 2013 Ashes. He's doing to Twitter what he did to the English batting
in
2013. So, Mitch, keep him going.
Keep going,
Mitch. We're absolutely loving it.
Look, you know what this is good for? Is that hopefully Mitchell Johnson wastes all his bounces on KP when the Perth Scorchers play the Stars and he doesn't deliver them my way. That'd be cool.
No, he's going to bowl a heap.
Yeah, I know.
He's going well.
I know.
Okay, our guide to, I think you might have just a quick little guide to the Adelaide Oval. It's a wonderful stadium. It's walking distance from the city there. You know, New Year's Eve, you've played in it, the Big Bash games, and Travis Heading, sixes to bring up his 100 to win games, Jake Lehman, 50,000 people. They do the New Year's Eve celebrations at the grounds.
Yep.
It's no different than a test match. It's absolutely packed. There'll be 10, 15,000 outside in the marquee.
Yes.
How do you go about dealing with the Adelaide Test match from a social perspective, Brad?
Well, there's a very important guide. I reckon that for me, if you are a localite or if you're even from interstate, this is my guide. So the important thing is that you know that it goes deep into the night time. So you're going to have to get a good feed in. And for us interstaters who stay in Adelaide over the course of the holiday period, we go to the Earl of Leicester religiously every night to watch Big Bash League. And we're there only because it's the biggest feed, and Craig Simmons wouldn't let us go anywhere else.
So, what was Craig Simmons going for?
Oh,
is he a Palmer man?
No, either Palmer chips and salad minus the salad, or steak chips and salad minus the salad. So that was his go-to. But yeah, he wouldn't let us go anywhere else. So anyone who wants a good value meal, fill your belly up because you know you're going to have a belly full of beer later.
Maybe do that for lunch.
Get to the Earl of Leicester. Yep. Get to the Earl of Leicester for lunch, then get yourself to the Adelaide Oval. Now, there's a couple of things that you need to do. Adelaide number 2 turns into the recreation. So that is a must starter where a lot of the community get together. It's like Henman's Hill, you know, in Wimbledon. You just got to hang out there for a little bit.
Well, it reminds me of Adelaide don't have a spring carnival horse racing week like Melbourne do.
Yeah.
The girls and the guys, they dress up Friday, Saturday, Sunday out the back.
Yeah.
Number 2.
Yeah, number 2 is the place to get to. Now, there are other – once you're inside the venue, if you're lucky enough to scrounge some members' tickets, get yourself to the back of the members section where they'll have the traditional Maui and Shandon. Out where Dizzy, out where the Buff Lehman and Dizzy statues are.
Do you think is more like the actual player, the Darren Lehman one or the Jason Gillespie one?
See, I reckon it's determined by which bird Pooh likes it. You know, what seagull loves it, that's what's better. And I think there's more sitting area for Darren Lehman to sit on because Dizzy was a bit skinnier.
Yeah, I think they looked after Buff around the waist area.
Didn't they? I think the Buff one's better. It's because it sort of it shows you the shot which he actually played, and you can actually see Buff playing that shot, which is pretty cool. Okay. So get yourself out there. This was a really good spot for Warney that he used to perv on. Down there. He loved that.
Well, back when I played a couple of tests there, we'd actually go out the back and drink straight after the ground. And they go, bus at 7.
Yep.
At 7:30.
No chance. Bus at 9:30.
Okay. Last call is midnight.
Well, that's a good place. So get yourself into the members somehow.
No, I like it.
And the other one is...
what about the hill near the scoreboard?
Well, that's what I'm just about to mention, under the scoreboard. So... under that West End draft scoreboard is the place to be. You don't have to walk far for your beer. One of the things which when I played the one and only Adelaide Test match that I play is, I was that excited any time after tea and you're fielding somewhere down near fine leg, which I'm sure you would have seen. I used to field at mid-off, but I always used to turn my head over because there used to be a scuffle probably every 15 or 30 minutes or so just to keep you entertained. I would have thought that's a pretty good thing for a couple of the England players to get themselves over there if they're a bit bored.
Yeah.
Because it'll happen.
Might help them with the short ball.
Yeah.
Being able to hustle and bustle with the Adelaideans out there on the hill.
Yeah.
They've had 4 hours of drinking.
Yeah.
There's good. You talk about the fighting, but there's good banter as well.
Great fun banter.
Great banter.
Yeah. It's a bit like their Bay 13, isn't it? Where you can have fun with everyone and they have fun with the players and you enjoy themselves.
Well, we had comedian Anthony Limo Lehman promoting his book a couple of episodes ago.
We did.
Remember when he talked about how he actually got kicked out before
a ball
was bowled?
Yes.
You can do that as well.
Well, if that happens...
go to the Queen's Head.
The Queen's Head. Yeah. That's where you go. Wait for everyone. So there's one pub which we think you can go to. Another one that we like to venture to, because generally we stay around the North Terrace precinct, is the Strathmore Hotel. One of Dizzy's favourites. Dizzy loves to slide in there for a pot of beer. Or for me, who I like to go for a wander every now and then, go down the funky end of Rundle Mall and keep going to Rundle Street, which is the Exeter Hotel. She's a bit rugged, but if you want something a little bit funky, hang around with those dudes.
Craig White, who grew up in Bendigo. I played underage Victorian Australian with him and then played a lot of test cricket for England.
Yeah. Well, Whitey. If you don't like the Exeter, you can just jet set over the road to the Austral as well. So
Fitzroy is a suburb. They have just a couple of, like a half a street that's Fitzroy, isn't it?
Yes.
Up that end.
They do.
You're right, those two pubs.
Exactly. And the last point of call before you stumble home, get in a taxi, is get yourself to Hindley Street for a souvlaki at 3 a.m. To make sure you fill your belly for the next day. And also, you'll know you've had a good night when you drip the garlic sauce on your shoes and you wake up the next morning, you go, what's happened last night? Oh, I must have gone to the test match. And you get up and do it all again. So that's my guide to Adelaide. Good fun time, Adelaide, whenever there's any cricket on. I copped a bit of flack on Twitter, actually, during the week, questioning what you do any other time.
Well, Michael
Vaughan
said, is there a better place in the world than Adelaide?
Yeah.
And what was your
response? And I said, well, haven't you been anywhere else?
Oh, geez.
And I got a few Adelaide, what are they called? Adelaideans?
I call them Adelaideans.
Yeah, Adelaideans got onto me and said, blah, 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 you're only shitty because you got from strikers, flicks for strikers. That's not the case. If you've actually spent 6 weeks, the actual city shuts down.
Yeah. I loved it there. Very family based. But I remember I was commentating for Fox Sports New Year's Day.
Yep.
Forgot my tie. Not a problem. Got my suit. I just walked down the mall and buy a tie. Not open.
Not open. No.
Not open New Year's Day.
No, we had to walk. We counted.
It's a great
Four and a half blocks, I think, on New Year's Eve, I reckon, before the game to get a coffee. Yeah. Which didn't make Ben Lachlan at all happy. He's a creature of habit. He liked to go to the same place religiously all the time, as did Craig Simmons.
He's a good fan. He's a fan of the Bowlology Report.
But
Benny.
I'm a fan of Adelaide Oval and the Adelaide Hills.
Well, that's your guide. I'll go a quick guide. My guide is to social greetings. On the back of the Johnny Bairstow, Cam Bancroft headbutt.
Yeah.
And hopefully that's all over now. But when the English press have built an argument that it's all from Australia and all that, once that sort of happened, I don't mind the boys using it on field.
Nah, not at all.
Because, you know, Johnny...
It's open slather.
He was the guy who was proactive in this incident. The, and also, the English press was selling it as if it was a friendly headbutt. Now, for me, that's an oxymoron. You know, when you use phrases that don't seem to make any logical sense or contradictory.
Yeah.
Friendly.
Yeah.
Headbutt. You know, like pretty, ugly. Yes. Jumbo, shrimp.
Yes.
Act naturally. It's an oxymoron there. So just for Johnny and for any English guys like that, just a little bit of a guide, right? Let's go through
them. Let's hear it.
Like instead of a friendly headbutt, just quick ones, a handshake.
It's simple.
A handshake.
Yeah.
Two, high five.
High five can be used.
Boom. Three, we're Aussies, thumbs up.
Yep.
So then there's actually no any physical interaction, just thumbs up. Also, you know what Aussies do? We wink.
We do wink.
We don't need to do that. We'll just do a little bit of a wink and maybe a little bit of a shrug of the head.
Shrug of the head.
Or a wink. That could work.
Yeah.
Johnny, a nod.
A nod.
Just a nod.
A nod's okay.
A champ, a big fun. Probably getting into my least preferred thing, but maybe... It's better than a friendly headbutt, just a fist pump.
Oh, the fist pump.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
You've got to do that
right. The Shazam.
Because the Shazam, I had a bad incident with the fist pump.
Oh.
I was playing Lashings Cricket Club,
yes.
You know, and it's mainly of West Indians. It's like the Harlem Globetrotters of cricket.
Yeah.
And I'm playing it. I'm probably the worst player that Lashings have ever had, you know. I haven't played for a while, but I'm enjoying it. I'm loving playing. But where I freaked out, we'd get wickets. And the wicket celebrations, and because it's, you know, Sir Vivian Richards, Richie Richardson, Vasper Drakes, all these, Jimmy Adams, Phil Simmons, they're celebrate. There's high fives, fist pumps, but then they elaborate on that. So I'm not in the game. They're doing butterflies before they do it. So I'm missing everything. And
you're
I'm
not cool enough.
I'm not cool enough.
No.
So then I build a plan that I'd always get in there late enough that the celebration's already gone.
Yep.
We're in the circle and I just go and pat them on the back, right? So I delay coming in because I got the yips.
Yeah.
I got the yips. Is Jimmy a fist pumper? Is Richie Rich a high fiver?
You're a rocker, not a rapper.
A rocker. But I know Richie Rich, he's Antiguan. He's a fist pumper.
Yeah, man.
That's the only one I know. I love Rich.
Yeah, man.
So fast forward, Beach Cricket, which was on Channel 10 series.
Yes.
Good fun. Going to breakfast first day. Guess who's there? Sir Vivian Richards. I'm intimidated by Sir Vivian.
Yeah, who is
I've met him once years ago. I don't think he'll know who I am. Blah, blah, blah. Our eyes lock. Mm. We're going in for a greeting.
Was it
right?
A champ?
So I'm thinking Antigua and Richie Richardson.
Yeah.
I go with fist pump.
Right.
Guess what Sir Vivian goes with?
He goes handshake.
Just goes handshake.
Oh, my God.
Right? So I actually punch his open hand. At the end, you know, basically at the front there, right? So then I look at him and I just crap myself. Right. So I just get out of there because I'm thinking, what's he thinking?
What you doing, man?
What are you doing, man?
What you doing?
Fist pump, what's going on there? Yeah. So I just avoided him, right? Because I just didn't, if I'd confronted it straight away, just went, sorry, I didn't mean that. I'll just tell the story.
Yeah.
So I told the story on radio a couple of weeks later, you know, we're in Perth on this thing.
Mm.
Walk on the bus and then I see him. He goes, Demo, here in the radio last night, Demo. Very good, very good. Like this. And I'm thinking, did he hear the story?
Yeah.
And he's going, very good, but I know the story.
Yes.
Or two, did he actually hear me? So I never confronted that. But my message to probably Cam Bang or to Johnny Bairstow, go through those first five. Mm. A handshake, high five, thumbs up, a wink or a nod.
Mm.
But for Cam Bancroft, bad technique either, I reckon be second in. Don't go too early. If you go second, you can read the play.
Yeah.
So even with Johnny's headbutt, if you've delayed it, you could go, hey, we don't do this here.
What about
a handshake?
Yeah, I'm going to chuck one in there as well. What about the dab? The dab's pretty.
Well, it's non-threatening.
Non-threatening, yeah.
Hey, Hodgie, that was my guide to social greetings. Now, we put out a poll question. Mm. Had a few hundred votes too. On the back of Hodgie's 99 for East Sandy last week, is it better knowing you're on 99 or not knowing? This is how close it is.
It's pretty close.
51%, the winner, is yes. And then you get to plan for celebration. 49%, no, let it be a surprise.
Right.
That's very close, isn't it?
I'd like to know of these voters who's actually got to 99. That'd be an interesting...
So there's a bit of banter between some blokes and Bert Pies. At Bert Pies goes, I was just happy to get off the mark. And then tell me when I reach double figures. Well played.
Yeah, good work.
Well, Hodgie, that's the Bowlology report for this week. Adelaide Oval, who's going to win?
Oh, Australia again.
Yeah.
I'm up with Riggy Ponting. I think that could wash it 5-0.
That could be it. I tell you what, it's going to be an entertaining maybe 3 days, maybe go into the four. You've got the guide if you're over there. Just listen to Bradley Hodges' things there. Thanks a lot for listening. Audience is up. Subscribers up on iTunes and SoundCloud. Thanks a lot for that. Taking us out this week, you're a champion. This bloke's a champion. Dwayne Bravo.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.